Welcome back, everybody. My name is Chad Burke. I'm president of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region. And with me today is one of my favorite state elected officials, State Representative Ana Hernandez from District 143. Your second time in this podcast studio.
Yes.
So we're very happy to have her back here. And we want to take a little time during this series talking with our state legislators a little bit more in depth, and a chance to kind of hear from them a couple of different things, what it's like to head up to Austin, a little bit of, you know, inside baseball, and then talk through some of the things that have happened in the legislative session this year, and maybe look forward to maybe October and then what's on the ballot in November as well. So Ana, welcome. Really appreciate all that you do for your district. And then as the fantastic work that you do in collaboration with us at the Economic Alliance. Just to brag on her a little bit, she is always, always, always responsive to our state white paper. We've worked bills together. Just a fabulous representative of her district and really what we could hope for in our state representative. So I'm just have to brag on you a little bit because you always work with us so well. So I appreciate it. But let's start by giving the audience a little bit of look inside what your life is like as a state representative. It's a 2-year term, right? So every 2 years you have to rerun if you want to stay in, which we want you to stay in. And then every other year you're heading up to Austin for what, 140 days to begin with before special sessions begin. So give us a peek into that. You've got a great son, you've got lots of family things going on. But then every other year, you just interrupt that and head up to Austin. So tell us a little bit about that. What is that like?
Well, thank you, Chad. And thank you for the invitation to come back. It's great to be with you all through this forum. And I really enjoy what I do. And it's because of organizations like yours that make my job much easier. I appreciate our collaboration, our working relationship over the past 18 years that I have been in office. And that's what makes a legislator successful, having those relationships with the community, having relationships with colleagues and different levels of government. And so for me, this is my 18th year in office.
You were six.
And I started as an intern. I started as staff 25 years ago.
Wow.
So this is something that I love, I enjoy. Not every day, I will say that. Some days that are better than others, but overall, I do enjoy the work that we do as legislators. And, you know, I enjoy giving back to the community. I enjoy serving. I enjoy being their voice in Austin. And there are different facets in the work that we do as legislators. As you mentioned, we are on a 2-year term. Mm-hmm. So either in an odd number year, which is this year, we're in a legislative session. That starts Tuesday, the second Tuesday in January, and goes for 140 days, which is roughly around Memorial Day weekend. So we're always working Memorial Day weekend during the legislative session, because that's usually when it ends that Monday. Mm-hmm. And then when we're not in session, like now, what we call the interim, when we are back in our districts, you know, we're reconnecting with our community, attending civic clubs, chamber luncheons, different events to, kind of give a briefing to our district of what happened during the legislative session. But at the same time, gearing up because we file for reelection in November.
Yeah.
So November to December is a filing period for us to file for reelection. We have a March primary if we have opposition, and then a November election, and then right back into the next session. So it's either you're in a legislative session year or you're in a campaign year. And so luckily, we are only 2.5 hours away from Austin. So traveling back and forth is kind of a regular commute in the Houston metropolitan area.
You go east to west in Houston and travel that far.
yes. But I know it's more challenging for our colleagues that come from West Texas, the Panhandle, or South Texas, or even East Texas. It takes longer for them to get to Austin. So whenever we're in session, things start up a little slow in January. In the state constitution, it says that we cannot pass legislation before the 60th day, unless it's declared an emergency item, which we've seen the governor do that in the past, say these are emergency items, you can take those up before the 60th day. But otherwise, it's a pretty slow beginning of the session. As the House, is organizing, we were sworn in on the first day. First order of business is for us to elect a speaker. Mm-hmm. And then the speaker's office gets to work organizing the committees.
Yep.
And so once committee assignments come out, which is, has been as early as the first, second week of February, has been as late as, almost March, then committees can start meeting. And our days will be a little bit longer. But in those days where we don't have a legislative calendar, we don't have committees, we have a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
We have a lot of groups that come up. And I do encourage our groups that come up to visit in January and February when things aren't busy, when we're not tied up in committee. Because what I really, really, really don't like is when I have a group from home come up to Austin to travel to visit with me and I'm stuck in a committee or stuck on the floor. And what I mean about stuck, not that I can't leave, but if we're taking votes, it makes it difficult for us to leave and step out. Because we do that on other occasions. If it's, you know, a brief moment where we do have the opportunity to step out, I think we've met before in that back hallway or just outside the chamber. Yes, if we are able to do that. But if we're voting, it makes it really hard for us to step away. And so January and February are, you know, it's a great time for our different advocacy groups.
Yeah, kind of hear from all of your constituents.
So I think y'all have done, your group has done the same to come visit and present to us, you know, your legislative agenda items that you would like to see us push forward. And we had that great opportunity to work on legislation. I also try to meet with our district and different groups before session.
Yeah.
And I encourage that as well. I mean, it's never too early. We're already thinking about the next legislative session and preparing for that. That if you have an idea or something that you want us to work on next session, to start having those discussions now with your legislators to kind of work through all the different issues of the proposed legislation, to get the draft, you know, to maybe have to tweak it so you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. We can pre-file legislation before session starts. Yeah. So even though session starts in January, we can start filing in November. And the advantage of that is that legislation is filed in sequential order. So you want a low bill number because legislation is also referred and kind of moves through the process in that order as well. And so you want to be ahead of the game, as they say, before session starts with whatever proposal you have. And so it's once things get going, it's a little more challenging. And as you know, I have an 11-year-old son. So I usually drop him off Monday morning on my way to Austin. We gavel in sometimes at 10 o'clock or a little bit later. So get up in the morning, get dressed, pack my bags for the week, drop him off at school, head up to Austin, make it there, you know, in time for us to go to the house floor. And then we're there and it's, you know, from the moment you walk in, it's nonstop until we walk out of that building and come home. And at the beginning of session, the weeks are shorter. So we're usually back, you know, about Thursday.
Okay.
But the weeks start to get longer as committees are meeting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we're working through the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, as we're meeting deadlines at the end of session. So
So all that's, you lay all that out and it sounds like a full-time job, right? But you actually have another full-time job, right?
So as legislators,
give us a little snippet of what you do in the real world when you're not in the legislative world. Just so people understand, right?
Right. As a legislator, we are not members of Congress that have a full-time salary. We are a part-time legislature, and the purpose of that is to have a more representative body in the legislature. And so as a part-time legislator, we get paid $600 a month.
It's a staggering amount that we pay our state
before taxes. $476 after taxes. And that's for me that I don't have any deductions. So some of these members that do have families on their entrance plans, they end up paying the state.
Oh my goodness.
to serve. But it is considered a part-time legislature. And the challenge with that is there are very few people that are able to do this job because of that. You're going to relocate to Austin for at least 140
months.
Days. Yeah. This past session, we were called in a special session in June and then July, and we're anticipating another one in October. Mm-hmm. Last legislative session, we were there until October.
Yeah, y'all spent the entire summer.
Yes, and so it makes it very hard for people that have jobs to just pick up and relocate. And so you see a lot of lawyers in the legislature for the reason that we have that flexibility that I take my laptop with me, I take my printer with me, and I'm able to work from Austin remotely from there. And so that's what I do at times, you know, try to squeeze in some time when I'm not on the House floor or in committee to just, you know, focus on some law work and try to get that done. It's been a lot easier now with Zoom hearings that the courts have are now conducting their court hearings via Zoom because I'm able to do that from Austin. Mm-hmm. Where in the past, I'd have to kind of maneuver that and try to schedule hearings when we weren't in session either on Mondays or Fridays. And that becomes impossible at the end of session when we're there the entire week.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing a little bit, kind of a peek into the life of or day of or session Because I don't think a lot of people really recognize that just all the effort that goes into it, the sacrifices that our state legislators make, and whether it's personal with family or whether it's with work, just travel, everything that you go through, and then taking all that time to get the feedback from your region so that you can, you know, represent everybody in a good way. So we appreciate that. I like the peek into it. So let's dive.
And I love it. Yeah, I love it. It sounds complicated. It sounds like it's very unpredictable, but I love it.
No, I think it fits you. I think it fits you well. So tell us a little bit about this past session so far. What were some of the key things that you saw passed or helped pass that you were proud of that kind of came back out of this session?
For me, it's important to represent my district. And mm-hmm. so that's the reason that I like to visit with constituents, with groups before session starts to hear mm-hmm. their priorities and their needs. And so this past session, we were able to work with our Harris County mm-hmm. Officials and with the city of Baytown on some government efficiency recommendations that they had and that we were able to pass to make some of their zoning and hearing processes more efficient. And so that is what's most important for me, the things that we're able to do for our constituents. Mm-hmm. Statewide, I think the big issue that continues to be in our mind, especially as we have these high temperatures, is the electric grid.
Yeah.
And so as vice chair of the State Affairs Committee, that is an issue that we've been focusing on, since last session when that started with, unfortunately, Winter Storm Uri.
Yeah.
And the opposite end of those extreme weather events. And so we'll continue to working on that. This past session, we worked on how to make how do we work on making the grid more reliable and resilient and affordable mm-hmm. for our consumers. And so there was some legislation that was passed in an effort to achieve that. It'll take time for it to be implemented by the PUC, but we continue to work on that. And I think that's a very important issue for our area. There was legislation that was passed as well that you will see on the November ballot. Mm-hmm. It's part of a constitutional amendment, one of the 14 that will be on the ballot in November, and that is for the energy fund. Mm-hmm. And it'll be financial assistance available, not only to incentivize more generation, but also here locally, which I think is most important. And that was an amendment that I was able to add working with our Senate colleague for those critical facilities that need those backup generators. Mm-hmm. And it is, if you're familiar with, it's Enchanted Rock and the microgrids, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that idea,
okay.
that our critical facilities are police, fire, hospitals, nursing home, yeah. hospitals, dialysis centers would have the opportunity to apply for a grant or a low interest loan for them to be able to do that. And so it'll be the PUC that will implement that, the modules that will be used for that. And so I think that will be very, very critical for
our area. Is that passed already, or is that part of the?
It is part of the energy fund. Yes, it is part of the energy fund.
That is on the ballot in November.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. And so that is a $5 billion energy fund that will be established for those projects.
Well, and how blessed are we as a state to have the surplus we had to be able to put this? I mean, $5 billion towards this type of really kind of infrastructure security for our utility like that, and so that we don't run through a storm or a heat wave.
Right, absolutely.
Begins, so that's what's rolling brownouts or blackouts or mm-hmm. Folks that really don't need to have their electricity turned off during an emergency. So mm-hmm. that's outstanding.
Yeah. That's the focus. So the focus will be not only to overall have more generation and more power on the mm-hmm. grid, but also take care of those critical facilities in time, when perhaps the power will be out for others. Like you and I, we can weather a day or two or be out without power, but there are people that rely on that. Yeah.
So what else? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because you talked about the November election. So what else do we need to keep an eye out for on the November ballot?
I'll go back to kind of give you some background on. So these are 14 constitutional amendments that will be proposed on the November ballot. And people may be asking, well, how does that happen? And I'll tell you, it's very, very difficult. Not difficult, but it's a challenge to have the legislature pass legislation for a constitutional amendment because it requires a two-thirds vote in both mm-hmm. the House mm-hmm. and the Senate. And so, that means it's a bipartisan vote.
Yeah.
It's a bipartisan vote. It's an issue that's important to both sides, and to be able to reach that threshold of a 2/3 vote in both houses for it to be sent to the voters to decide. Yeah. And so there'll be 14 of those measures.
Which frankly sends a good message to the voters that both your House and Senate have supported this 2/3 or more.
Yes, right? We so consider this a priority. Yeah. We think this is important for the state. And, that we hope the voters will approve it. So we've got a cost of living increase for our retired teachers.
That's right.
Which is incredible. We've got the energy fund that we just talked about.
Patty Bell on our staff that does our workforce development will be very happy to do that.
Oh, wonderful.
She's a retired CTE teacher.
Not only will they get a cost of living increase from the 2, 4, 6%, mm-hmm. depending on when they retired, mm-hmm. they'll also get an additional check, also ranging from $2,500 to about $7,500. So
I'll ask if she's voting for that.
And of course, our property taxes.
Yes.
Yeah, to reduce our property taxes. Taxes that, will be on the ballot as well. Important for our area, for the entire state, but also for our area because of the University of Houston, mm-hmm. is the Texas University Fund.
I heard about this.
So this will be $3 billion for the Texas University Fund, which would be incredible for here in our area, the University of Houston. And those are dollars that they are able to use to draw more research dollars to elevate the status mm-hmm. of our university. And with that becomes so many other things. It's not just the students that are attending.
Exactly.
It impacts the entire area as
Absolutely.
Well. So we're happy for that. And so, I won't go through all of them, but there's 14 of them. And so we want to make sure in our district, and I can only send a newsletter to my constituents, but we draft a newsletter to send to our constituents so they will have this information ahead of time, the description, the explanation of mm-hmm. the constitutional amendment, and then also a little QR code. We're getting high technology here, QR code, where they can go and get more explanation.
Because
we're not going to make it a 20-page newsletter,
but
if you want...
we're big fans of QR codes here.
Yeah, we'll be happy to provide that as well. I don't know if you can link it to this podcast, but a QR code that will provide not only an explanation of the constitutional amendments, but also those arguments for and against.
Yeah.
If you don't quite understand, because I know sometimes it can be confusing when you go to the ballot and you read the language and you're like, I'm not really sure what this
is.
It's
because we let you lawyers write the language.
And so that will, give you an opportunity to read over that and be better informed when you go to the ballot.
That's outstanding. That's mm-hmm. outstanding. So,
but we do have one more pending session too.
Yeah, exactly.
Before November,
there's
I got ahead
October,
of myself there.
Right? And so tell us a little bit about what you expect in October.
Yes. As you mentioned, thankfully we had a budget surplus mm-hmm. and great revenues for the state. And we anticipated providing more funding for our public schools. Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately there wasn't an agreement reached between the House and the Senate. And so that is a pending item for us to go back in October. People ask, when in October? We don't know.
Yeah.
And that's part of the unpredictability of this job. And that, sometimes it's hard. So I just know, don't make any plans in October because we'll be called at some point. And typically it's usually a week ahead that we start hearing rumblings about the governor's going to call you back, next Tuesday or next Wednesday.
So real quickly, before you dive into that, when he calls a special session, it's a 30-day session is kind of the max days. And then if it's not finished, then he would call a second one. So when you say October, you're like, it could be the entire month of October, right? If we go in the beginning of October, it could be 30 days. If we don't get everything done that the governor wanted, we might have to come back again, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a rolling 30-day, this is a special session. Okay, I just wanted to kind of get that out there.
Yes, and that happened earlier this year as well because the regular session ended on Monday, May 29th, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And the governor called us back for a special session the very next day.
Yeah.
So I was literally driving down 71 when we get the notice and I turned back around. Literally made a U-turn back to Austin. We were called back. And so the same thing. So the governor will call a special session. He designates the items mm-hmm. and only those items may be considered during the special session. Now you hear of some legislators filing legislation regarding other things. We can file anything we want, but the only thing that's on the call for that legislator special session mm-hmm. is whatever the governor puts on the call.
Correct.
It's for 30 days and we have those 30 days to get the job done.
Yep.
And if we don't, he can either just, let it go or call us
or
back.
Or say, nope.
Mm-hmm. Let's, call us let's back the very working. Next day, call yep. us back the following week. And so it's, okay. yeah, his
All right, so tell us a little bit about what you're expecting in October.
So we have the funding for public schools, and it was HB 100, mm-hmm. but the Senate added school vouchers, which is something, you know, that I am supportive of our public schools and believe, you know, it's not a good good legislation for our public schools. And so that is a disagreement right now
yeah.
on school vouchers. Okay. So they're tying both the additional funding for public schools
and
tied with, okay, you'll get vouchers. It, but yeah. only if you pass okay. school vouchers.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And so
that should be an interesting session.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We had two, which you would call, I guess, kind of preliminary proxy votes during session, that the votes are not there not, in the House
yeah.
for it to pass. I mean, yeah. the first was during the budget, and it's more, you know, not that's not procedural, but that is an amendment that was filed saying no state funds will be used for private school vouchers. Mm-hmm. And the second vote was more procedural vote saying, you know, we're not going to allow a committee to go back and meet to vote on this legislation.
Gotcha. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
it hasn't
but
been
it
direct. It kind of showed where mm-hmm. where the votes are in the House. And so I don't know that that will prevail or not. And so that we'll see what happens in October. Because if the votes are not there, then
yeah,
we
what do
are,
you do? What do you yeah. do, right? The governor's like, okay, no.
Yeah, like I said, which is what you saw happen in June.
Right.
So yeah. we had an entire 30-day property taxes.
Property tax,
yes,
yeah.
a whole special session, 30 days, where our speaker said, we're not in agreement. You know, he let us come home, didn't keep us in Austin, saying, yeah. until the House and Senate agrees, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, I'll let my members go back into their districts because we, after being away for 5 yeah. months, I mean, we need to come back and yeah. you know, do the work in our communities. So we'll see how that goes in October.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Like I said, I think you are well suited for the position that you're in, and obviously love it. We love having you as representing one of the districts in our footprint, and just love working with you. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we let you get back to the work of the district?
Well, being a mother of an 11-year-old, I love having young students visit the Capitol.
Yeah.
I think it's important for our youth mm-hmm. to see their government in action, you know the importance of being civically engaged. And so we are always, you know, have an open invitation to any group, any student group or, you know, a family group that wants to come to the Capitol and visit. I know sometimes I surprise my staff saying, oh, we have 140 students coming to visit, you know, but we're able to accommodate. And I mentioned fourth grade and seventh grade because that's when yeah. they learn about Texas history.
Yeah.
And so what a better way than to be there at the Capitol learning about Texas history, and they get to do a tour. Last group that was there, I had time, so I was able to join them on the House tour. And it was really cool. We went to the bottom basement floor of the Capitol to the old vault.
Wow.
Where they, you know, the treasury used to be there. And so there are many, you know, neat things around the state capitol for kids to see and, yeah. and to learn about.
Well, it should be interactive, right? It's our government. It should be interactive for students, for those old ones like us as well. So we appreciate it.
We're seasoned.
There you go.
We're seasoned.
Well, I think that'll do it for our conversation. I really appreciate you taking time to kind of give us a peek into the session, into the way that you have to kind of maneuver that and everything coming up again in October and November. So thank you so much, Anna. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back soon with an additional state representative. So thank you guys. Appreciate it.